Now, I don't want to make the contrast as between black and white too abrupt or too vivid or too dramatic. That might be an exaggeration. But I am constrained to say that the Buddhist tradition is quite different. In fact, we may say that the whole Eastern, especially Far Eastern ethical tradition, is quite different from all this. According to Buddhism, according to the Buddha's teaching, according to the traditions of whatsoever school or sect of Buddhism, actions are right or wrong, perfect or imperfect, according to the state of mind with which performed. In other words, the criterion of ethics is not theological, the criterion is psychological. Now, it's true that even in the West, we are not unacquainted with this idea, even within the context of Christianity. But so far as Buddhist ethics are concerned, so far as Far Eastern ethics are concerned, whether Buddhist or Taoist or Confucian, whatsoever it may be, this criterion is the only one. This criterion is universally applied. This criterion is rigorously carried through to the very end. That the criterion of ethics is not theological, it is psychological. And according to this same Buddhist tradition, there are two kinds of action. What we call, just to use the technical language for a moment, what we call kusala and akusala. Kusala means skillful action. Akusala means unskillful action. And this is significant because the terms skillful and unskillful, not good and bad, but skillful and unskillful, suggest that morality is very much a matter of intelligence. You can't be skillful unless you've got some sort of practical intelligence, unless you understand, unless you can see, explore possibilities. So morality is as much a matter of intelligence and insight, according to Buddhism, as one of good intentions and good feeling. After all, we've been told that the path to hell is paved with good intentions, but you could hardly say that the path to hell was paved with skillfulness. It doesn't seem quite to fit. Now, akusala actions, unskillful actions, are described or defined as those which are rooted in craving, in selfish thirst, in hatred or antagonism or aggressiveness, and in mental confusion, bewilderment, a state of spiritual obscuration or ignorance. And kusala actions, skillful actions, are those which are free from craving, free from hatred, free from mental confusion, and which are, positively speaking, motivated instead by generosity, by the impulse to share, to give, by love, by kindness and compassion, and by understanding. These are kusala actions, skillful actions, those which are so motivated. And this very simple distinction at once places the whole question of morality in an entirely different light. The ethical life, the moral life, we may say, is a matter, or becomes a matter, of acting from what is best in us, what is best in us within, acting through our deepest, our profoundest insight and understanding, and our widest and most all-embracing love and compassion. Well, we are now in a position perhaps to see or begin to see what is meant by perfect action. Perfect action is not just action which accords with some external standard or criterion. Perfect action is that action, or any action, which expresses perfect vision, in the sense which I gave this term in the first talk, and perfect emotion, as described in the second talk in this series. And perfect action, we may say, represents the descent to the level of action of perfect vision and perfect emotion, just as perfect speech, the third stage of the path, represented their descent to the level of communication. In other words, one has attained perfect vision, one has developed perfect emotion, and when one comes to act, well, automatically, spontaneously, one expresses in terms of one's action that vision and that emotional experience.